The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your drinking JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
An hour?
58:30, Jimmy. Oh.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. It's World Daily, and man, you thought we were miserable yesterday? Void of energy yesterday? We are like hitting new levels today. Jimmy just says, I need a day off. Dubs is like, oh my God, it's too early. JC's been on the road for 2 hours already. And Craig's just smiling. Craig's just happy to be here.
Craig's the best.
We'll lean on Craig today. He is. He is. I'm Shams. We got Craig as mentioned there. There's Dubs. We got Jeff, Cole, JC, and there's Jimbo. Okay. So where to start unpacking this one? It seems to me the Canadian soccer world has become a little bit arrogant with their reaction to, oh my God, we didn't win the group. Oh, this is awful. We should start firing people. Questioning selections. Oh, how could we lose to Switzerland? We're Canada. And we're losing to Switzerland? That's what I'm getting from people right now. Craig, Canada's qualified for the knockout round of a World Cup. Sure, disappointing. Could have won the group. In a great position to win the group. But they're qualified. Shouldn't we just be happy?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, I don't know, was certainly a want to stay in Vancouver, right? Because the buzz was great. The party is going to continue, and now it's not. So there's a bit of that going on. But in reality, they're still in really good shape. They got a great opponent. You couldn't ask for a better opponent. From a Switzerland point of view, there's a lot they can take from it, a lot of positives they can take from it, but a lot of things need to be better if you're going to beat a team in the top 20, which we struggle to do.
But that's just it, though. That's a team in the top 20, Dubs. That's a really good Swiss team that has been there before, has got a ton of really wily veteran players who know how to get things done against, quite honestly, a team that looked pretty inexperienced yesterday, especially in that first half, especially to start the second half. A team that's lacking some real leadership with Stefan Eustachio on the bench to start with. And it seemed to me that as if they were almost overwhelmed by the occasion. And Jesse Marsh didn't even dismiss that in the post-match press conference. They seemed tentative at first. They weren't quite themselves. To begin with, the tactics weren't quite as expected, right? They weren't quite as aggressive. Mm-mm. Certainly on the press that we thought, and that the Swiss thought as well. Maybe that was why. But overall, I mean, it was a team that just didn't play the way we know Canada can play, and that seemed to be between the ears more than anything.
Yeah, and I found them a little bit reactive. I found them untidy in possession. They fought to connect, especially when they're able to win the ball back. They weren't doing themselves any favors. They were out of possession for long stretches. And I think you could see the fatigue physically set in, but also mentally, you know, that is maybe wasn't going the way that they hoped it would. But to your, and I'll come back to the performance because I do agree with you on a lot of the points that you just made. And in stark contrast to the last 15 minutes, when you get that stunner of a goal, the beautiful touch, the ball by Luc de Fougerolle into space for Saliba, the brilliant first touch, the ball across, the finish by Promise David, who gets his goal when he never even thought he was going to probably play a World Cup minute. So you have that as a bright spot, and then the push, the urgency at the end. But where was that energy and intensity and aggression earlier in the match? And I think that part of it was by design. I think that they were asked by Jesse Marsh to not go quite so hard. But your earlier point about, you know, the fake outrage, whether it's about Canada not beating Switzerland or how dare Jesse Marsh lie to us about Alphonso Davies not being fit and ready to go and used as a Canada red herring or a decoy, however you want to categorize it, right? Like, we can get to that in a second. But I think we're at a point where, you know, the tipping point in the country with all the support, you have to leave that. So there's a little bit of bitterness that's tied up in that. But I think we're at a point where if this team had played well, you could have competed with Switzerland. And you just weren't up to the task on the day. So I think that's a fair point to make, to be disappointed that they didn't top the group. But given the type of performance that Canada put in for two-thirds of that match, I think finishing second and going to LA, and as Forrest said, a very, very nice scenario, like, you know, finishing second in a group and putting a bow on it to get South Africa in the round of 32. Like, if many people had said this is what Canada is going to be dealt to go on to the knockouts, everybody would have been leaping at the chance to face South Africa, who are not going to be slouches, who are going to be very dangerous on a counterattack. But I think Canada is well prepared, and you have a lot of the guys that you thought you might see who will be on, it's not a lot of rest, but an extra 4 days in the tank before you face them on Sunday.
Jimbo, so they're valid points, and certainly Canada at the best could have competed with the Swiss, but we know, like I said, the Swiss are a tournament team. As for the urgency Dubs mentions there, was that partly just because the Swiss did decide to sit deep after going up 2-0? They did what teams do, and listen, we got this under control. You can have the ball. We're fine. We'll absorb it.
Yeah, the momentum's going to swing when you're up, and you're up 2-0. It's just natural that you have a tendency just to drop more and defend, because the other team, the opposition, and now are on the front foot. They've got nothing to lose, so now they start throwing everything forward. But I thought it was a good performance from Switzerland. I thought they broke the press easy at times, only because our press wasn't in sync like it normally is. Their experience ended up showing, and they broke it many times, and they kept the ball well. And they're a very good side, but I just felt like we were a step behind yesterday, and that killed us, because our press, when you play that style, you got to be bang on. And if you're not bang on, then once you get broken, they break the lines, then you're in trouble. And we were in trouble a couple of times throughout the match.
And Bolo's a force, eh? We knew that beforehand.
Oh yeah. He's a good player.
Oh, my God. Oh, he gave them a fit.
I mean, and Vargas. Vargas were very good.
Yeah.
Really good.
But that combination of Mbolo and Manzambi, like, gave fits to Dufoujol and to Cornelius all night. And then, you know, having two fresh faces in the middle of the park in Chouanière and Saliba, who in fairness grew into the game, but it was a little bit too late. And, you know, the way that Mbolo in particular was dropping off into the midfield, or they were taking turns. One of them was dropping off to link up, dragging a center back into the midfield, and then creating gaps between either the fullbacks or just right in between those two guys that I mentioned in DC and Dufoujol to find balls in space. So once you were breaking the press, and then you had a guy dropping into the midfield and then creating the space in behind, like, Canada really, really struggled to contain that.
This message is brought to you by Tim Hortons at participating restaurants in Canada for a limited time.
Introducing Tim's Taste of the Globe, a limited time squad of globally inspired Timbits and iced cap flavors.
And trust us, this lineup came to play.
We're talking a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit,
a French chocolate creme brulee Timbit,
an Italian cappuccino Timbit,
and a Canadian fireworks Timbit,
plus a Mexican caramel churro ice cap that absolutely deserves a chant.
It's game on at Tim's with the new Timbits and ice cap flavors from around the globe.
Try them all today.
I will.
I know you will. Now back to the show.
Chouanière getting his first minutes at the World Cup in such an important match suggests to me that they were stunned that Eustachio wasn't good to go and was only good for 30 minutes. But he's not injured. Just make that clear. He's not injured. But he can only play 30 minutes. And Jesse Marsh said, listen, they wanted him to go, but Steph came to them and said, I can't do it. Now, Craig, we're not inside that medical room and on the table, but Eustachio hasn't played actually that much football since March, where he was hurt as far as full matches. He's only got, I think, two or three full games in him. He's played a couple of games at a World Cup. I don't know if it's fatigue, if he's felt something, but it just showed the importance of him and how, you know, we talk about Kone and Fonzi and, you know, all these other bigger names, perhaps flashier, sexier players, but Stephen Eustachio, he might be the most important player. And I think the minute we came on, we saw that.
Yeah. This is another thing we have to take into account, that we dealt with a side pretty well at times, missing some really key pieces, you know, with Davies, Bombito, Kone, Eustachio doesn't start. Those are really important players for us. And we talked about that going into this World Cup, that if we had everybody healthy, we can compete. We thought, yeah, they could possibly win that group. We were really positive about that. But they've had to deal with that. And the players that have come in have really done really quite well, all things considered. So that's what I mean, a lot of positives they can take from it. But there are a lot of things they need to be better, including the goalkeeper. Max Crapo made a very important save in the first half, brilliant save. But he's got to save the second one.
Yeah.
At this level, you cannot be letting goals in like that. So I felt bad for him because he's performed so well for us in the past. But that's a big moment that, unfortunately, you're under the microscope. And at that level, you need to save.
Yeah, I mean, with all the whining, and there's tons of whining right now about numerous things, but the whining about the injuries I'm okay with, because it does suck. It's really unfortunate that they're missing not just a few players, but the players they're missing. And we've been through this, but a game against Switzerland, I mean, that's, you take the four of the five best players out of the Swiss team, and they're a very different beast. You know, Canada just doesn't have the depth right now to replace those guys really adequately. And that's where it shows up, I think, Jimmy, where we're at, you know, in our development. We are still Canada, right? Some of these conversations, you know, we should, assuming we should have won the group, like, just take a breath here, right? We're not quite there. We have some flaws. We're a good team and we're a great story and we're going in the right direction, but, you know, we're not quite at that European, not elite for sure, but we're not really up again at the same level as those European nations like the Swiss, consistent tournament teams. That's the next step for us, surely.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think when you look at our squad, are we in a good place? Yes, absolutely. Going into this tournament, expectations were we wanted to make history, and I think we did make history. We got our point. We ended up getting a win. We scored a lot of goals, 8 goals in 3 matches, which is fantastic. And we're in the round of 32. So I think we need to kind of take a step back and go, okay, yeah, it would have been great to win that Switzerland game, BMBC. But at the end of the day, Canada's in the round of 32 right now at a World Cup playing South Africa. And we are in a great position here. And I think in the next match, when everybody's back, there's a chance that this nation could end up in the round of 16. Now, if someone said at the beginning, we're going to be in the round of 16, people would have laughed. But now there's this chance that we could be in the round of 16 in a World Cup, which is phenomenal. Yeah. So I think we need to take a step back and look at the big picture here and just applaud these players for what they've done and this nation for where we are right now.
We also have to be real. We have to be realistic here. We got a soft touch group because we were a host, right? You're playing Bosnia, who are ranked 64 in the world. You get a draw. You play against Qatar, ranked 57 in the world. You pound them. You play a top 20 team. You lose. This is a problem. Now you're going to play a 60 ranked team to get a chance to go to the 60. You know, it doesn't get any better than that. And I love the fact that they're going to LA. Those guys, I think they need a break from Vancouver. I think that whole setup in Vancouver is really intense and a lot of distractions. And now they're going to go away and they're going to slip away into LA and they're going to be really in a bubble and they can really concentrate on what they're doing. And they should be. So if they don't beat South Africa, you don't deserve to be in the sixth game. This is a ranked 60. Come on, let's get it right.
That's a great take. And I'm going to talk to them today about that. I'm going to ask these players about that. And they're going to say, oh, we'd rather be in Vancouver for the right reasons, right? And of course, they're going to say that. But yeah, Dubs, the fact is there are distractions. And we saw at Copa America, they play pretty well in intense environments. And I don't know what it's going to be there. If Korea had won yesterday or drawn, it would have been 60 or what was so far? 60,000, 70,000 Korean fans. I don't know, have no clue what the makeup's going to be for South Africa. But the Swiss could be playing Belgium or Algeria, okay, but it could be Belgium.
Yeah.
You know, thank Christ we didn't win the group. I don't care about playing the big teams. I care about a vast
Who are you? No, it's true, though. I think JC has something to say, though.
Well, since we're talking Canada, how about World Cup Watch Canada? Brought to you by Tim Hortons. It's game on with Tim's. Back to you. Is it James?
It's James, yeah. Shams, whatever. But it is World Cup Watch because we're going to be watching on TV, most of us now. Well, I won't be. I'll be down there, thankfully. But I don't know how many. I mean, is there a massive South African fan base
diaspora
in LA?
I don't know.
Yes, I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm sure, you know, LA is very much like Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a whole heck of a lot of them. But yeah, this is the best case scenario for this team. And Forrest's point about getting out of Vancouver, it will be an unpopular take. But the reality is when you're a player in that environment, you are pulled in every direction. And you do feel the occasion take a hold of you versus playing the match that's right in front of you. And we talked about it yesterday. And I was covering the game before I met up with Forrest and we did our take on Sportsnet. And we were talking about this. And Anastasia Busis, I was working with her on CBC, who is a speed skater. And so she's in a racing sport. And she said, sometimes she's like, this is maybe not where we want to go first, but maybe this is where we end up. In a race, you want to get kicked in the teeth first so that you have that response and you have to react to it. And then you can pick yourself up and figure out what you need to do for the next race to have success. And Canada has the luxury of being able to do that. They're able to get kicked in the teeth by a top 20 team yet again. And yes, we know what we have to do in order to get there, to be on kind of equal footing with teams like that who understand how to navigate a World Cup. But now they have a chance to do it again. They get a do-over. Like their first half versus Bosnia, it wasn't freaking good enough. And they had a response, and you had a Kaya Laren who showed up and was able to deliver in the moment. And yesterday they showed up, but it was a little bit too late with that urgency, and maybe it was a little bit of the game state. But I referenced the Steve Nash talk to the team prior to this match, where it was the tension versus the freedom. And when you're at home, you're wound up a little bit too tight. Coffee with family, tickets for cousins, and tickets for everybody who's known you throughout your youth development. And you get out of there, and then you can relax a little bit, the shoulders drop, and you have the freedom to express yourself a little bit more. And yes, it's the balance. There's drawbacks to it as well, being away from home. We won't have, you know, that sea of red backing this team, and Vancouver showed up the way that Toronto showed up. Don't get it twisted, as Forrest likes to say, like, don't get me wrong. This was fabulous to see, but you'll be able to play shackles off for a chance, as Jimmy said, in the round of 16, whether your path was easy or not, you will have arrived at that point. And again, we were talking about a deep run for this team is round of 16. That's basically how we defined it if we go back and listen. So we are one match away. We are one result away from being there. And I don't care who the opponent is. That will be a hell of an accomplishment.
And it's not an away game. It's, you know, it's, you're not playing away. You're playing neutral. And there's no reason why thousands of Canadians can't get on a plane and fly down to L.A. and make it a home game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they might.
And get those traveling fans for us. Like you talk about all the time, Canadian fans don't travel. Maybe that's about to change as well.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money, right? But you got a chance to see a World Cup match and maybe a victory at a World Cup. And you know, and part of tournament football, I imagine for teams, you tell me guys, but it's kind of like removing yourself from your comfort zone from home. And it's been a brilliant experience, yada, yada, yada. We know, right? But now they're actually going to, it might feel like the World Cup now a little bit because they're going to be, You know, because most World Cups aren't at home.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the positives here, right?
Yeah. You're going to get those mountains with the sun coming up over it and how beautiful that looks.
No, I got a hotel by the airport in LA. So, you know, we see those planes coming down. It's much better than the mountains and the ocean.
You still get to be there.
I know. I'm not complaining. Trust me. If I hear one cretin out there, I'm going to hear some cretins, be it fans, non-fans, probably non-fans mainly, media. One cretin complain about the path Canada's enjoying and how easy it is. I'm going to go off on them. I am. Piss off.
Well,
right?
Well,
we're Canada. We have an easy path. It's no easy path. We're Canada. England got to the final last time, right? Of Euro? Oh, no, sorry, the semis of the World Cup. And people go, oh, yeah, but look at who do they play? Shut up. It's a freaking World Cup. Who cares? I want the easiest path possible.
Yeah.
Sure, it'd be nice at some point to get a big team. And I think Canada could potentially play the Dutch or the Moroccans again if they go beyond this. We'll worry about that as we get to it. Right, Jimmy?
Yeah. But, well, we know it's going to get tougher. It's like,
yeah. But right now, who cares? If someone says, oh, yeah, they're so lucky. God, the arrogance is at a new level. Can't handle that, Jimmy.
I'm with you. Look, I mean,
everybody's experts.
Are they ever?
Mm-hmm.
God.
Yeah.
God, the experts out there.
Yeah.
Giving tactical breakdowns, a sport they haven't covered ever before.
Yeah. Sure. I'm not listening to the media because Astakio is playing, apparently. Davies is apparently playing.
And Moises
and the fake outrage for how dare Jesse pull the wool over our eyes.
I thought we were
friends. Did not see it?
I thought we were friends with these guys.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he tell us?
Yeah. Yeah. He's playing them like a fiddle. He's playing them like a fiddle.
Yep.
A coach lying to the media. I mean, I was at all those availabilities this past week. I was at everyone. I heard Jesse speak every single word. Not once did I think, oh, well, Fonzie's definitely playing. He didn't say that. Now, yeah, okay, he lied to us saying he's available. So what? Honestly. Again, like, calm down, people. Like, grow thick skin. This is football. He doesn't care about you as a person. He's a football coach. I'm sorry, yeah. he's not your mate.
They're pissed off because they thought they were their mates and they've been screwed over.
Sources. Ooh.
Yeah.
Out the window.
Yeah, like no one can try. I can't trust Jesse now. Right now, having been lied to Jesse, I really can't believe anything he says to me. But I didn't really believe it anyway beforehand. I think we said in the show, didn't we? I said, well, we don't know about Fonzie. I have no idea if he's healthy or not. Only people that know is in that room, that training facility.
Exactly.
They know. No one else knows.
Yeah, but there's.
Did Jesse overthink it? Probably. But I mean, who cares? Move on.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a whole lot of deduction, though, to, I know you only have access, you're on site charms the first 15 minutes. But by all accounts, like, he wasn't training fully with the group. And then you expect him to jump into a game. Yes, best case scenario, let's give him a run out. Let's prepare him so that if we have to use him for the round of 32, like, that's what we said. But people are like, oh, he's going to start and he's going to get minutes for sure. And I even said Moyes is going to start. Like,
I thought it
makes him sound like an idiot as well, right?
No,
based on what was happening with yellow cards, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But, and then maybe what we have a right to be pissed off about, and listen, people can be pissed by whatever they want, is that Jesse had the audacity to have some pragmatism and say, the likelihood of us winning this group and beating Switzerland or getting a draw is not next to nil, but it's unlikely. So we're going to save a Moyes Bombido on 4 days rest for the Sunday matchup. If we drop Fonzie in, we're going to use him there when it really matters. And again, turns of phrases, I'm probably going to get criticized for this. I don't care. But I mean, I like that. And if you're upset about something, be upset about that. Don't be upset about the fact that, well, Jesse told me he's probably going to play. That's on you. Yeah. Like, how do you not see it? Your job is to be objective. You got duped by a guy who's the best salesman out there, who's magnetic. Like he could sell you a freaking rock that's next to the seawall and tell you it's 10 grand and get you to pony up for it. Yeah. And you're pissed off. Like, get over it.
Exactly. That's a good point, though. I mean, is that possible, Jimmy, that Jesse essentially wrote off, even though they said we want to win the group? That was a public statement. We're going to win the group. That's the goal, always has been. And I'm sure he did want to win the group. Of course he did. Yeah. But deep down, he said, listen, I'd rather have these guys ready for a knockout game against an opponent that, is it winnable? Maybe.
Yeah.
But then there may be risk. And he said, he didn't want to put Fonzie in danger, is what he said, which is like, when I heard that, I think, danger. But then, is it danger? Or is he lying to me again? I don't know. Yeah. You know, I have no trust in Jesse anymore, which is absolutely fine. but could it be that resting these guys and then Switzerland, they are available and can contribute meaningful minutes?
Yeah. Look, him and his staff, they've got a plan, don't they? They know what they're doing. They know what they want. They know what their expectations are. And listen, by no means is it in his contract that he has to be honest with the media. Yeah. He doesn't care.
We're the most important people in the world.
We're Canadian.
Whatever he wants. He's got his staff. He's got a job to do. He doesn't care. And what he's doing right now, good luck to him, because where he's at is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we're all buzzing around the 32. So I don't care what he says and what he does. And I like it. I actually like it. And it's our job just to talk about it, like what we do. So we go off of what we see and what we kind of know, and we try to give insight into it. But we're never going to know what's going on behind the scenes when the doors are closed and what they're talking about. Never. Doesn't matter how close we all are. There's certain things they're going to tell us, and other things that they're not going to tell us. And that's what I expect.
We're heading to Los Angeles, which is our spiritual home.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's been examples. I mean, there's a couple in the last, 100 years where coaches have used the media, they've used them to get some information out there. That's not shown. Like, using is not respect. I mean, Sir Alex Ferguson used the media all the time to motivate players, to criticize teams, to drop little things in the ointment, to murky the waters. That's what they do, right? And I think what people are really upset about is that he came out and just admitted that, I lied to you, basically. I used him as a decoy. I mean, he probably did overthink it, right? Let's be honest, a little bit. I mean,
100%.
Swiss. Oh, that really confused the Swiss when they didn't see. What? Why isn't Fonzie warming up? Game plan change. Oh, my God. I'm pretty sure that didn't happen. So he probably overthought it. But, he's allowed that, I suppose. Isn't he?
Yeah, I don't think the Swiss were going to change their lineup based around any of that crap.
No, they don't care. If Fonzie comes on, they'll have a little game plan here. We just shift over, double team in certain spots, but their old game plan does not change. They don't care if Fonzie came on or not.
Mm-mm. Poch was saying about Pulisic yesterday, saying, he's looking good. He's probably going to be in the squad, and I might use him. That's really all Jesse had to say, really, just to keep the media, salivating fangs of the media at bay. Because, we're really tough in Canada here. You don't want to mess with us media. We're really hard.
Honestly,
I'm sure he's going to be very sheepish today at training. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Maybe he should be an official apology, a statement released by Canada Soccer. I want to see this today. An official apology from Canada Soccer for the way that the media has been treated and the fans have been treated. We sound like a little naive, little tiny little.
Is what I'm going to say, Sharms. Isn't that a sign that maybe if our coach is a little bit savvy and dabbling in a little bit of the media dark arts, a sign that we've probably arrived?
Yeah, maybe.
Right? Whatever you want to call it. Like, yay! Come on.
We've
got a coach that's spinning things to try to work to your team's advantage. I don't know.
See this all the time in football. And a lot of these people, when they pull in, they haven't seen a fucking World Cup for 28.
2024.
First one today. Yay.
That's so good.
For those that just,
you know, they don't even understand any of this stuff. Like, it just seems like it's all new to them. And just get slapped in the side of the face. Like, oh my God, they're not telling us the truth. I thought we were buddies.
It's the same, same day that the Oilers hire Mike Babcock, right? And it's like, well, the hockey people understand. Why can't we understand? Doesn't really matter. He could be the biggest dick in the world. 2903.
We're
in a roll now. But really, I don't care. I don't care if Jesse Marsh is a lovely person or not. Just win games. Honestly, that's what he's there for, right? Mm-hmm.
That's his job.
And quite honestly, he is quite a nice guy. He's a nice guy, but it doesn't matter. We're Canada, let's have some attitude, some personalities in there, Right now, it's a bit nicey-nicey, actually.
Yeah, it's a little bit of guile. That's what you want, right? That's what we needed more of in the first 60 minutes of yesterday's match by our coaching staff and their players. Like, I don't know if the plan where we were kind of tentative, like if we were going to have any success against Switzerland, you had to go full throttle again. We talked about this. Be comfortable, out of possession, absorb the pressure a little bit, but go really, really hard and aggressive and dictate the tempo even when you're sitting back and you don't have the possession. And we were kind of half-hearted and we were reactive and we were slow even when we were stepping to the ball to try to set those traps, let them out much too easily. And then when we were in possession, I thought Jonathan David did quite well when you had Saliba, as I mentioned, grew into the game a little bit, breaking the line on the dribble, finding the space, driving into the space the way that, say, a Kone would have. I thought he found his footing that way. And then we got opportunities, not the big chances that we granted Switzerland, mind you, but we still had opportunities. Kyle Larin, if he strikes that on his left foot, does he have a better opportunity than bringing it back to his right and not quite wrapping his foot around it? And then towards the end of the game, I know that's a little bit different as we've already covered. But I mean, if we're going to criticize Jesse Marsh for anything, criticize him for the approach to the game, in my estimation.
Yeah, that's a good point, because it didn't work. Right? That they weren't set up really to be successful in the end, because we know what they're best at and it didn't really work. Let's go through player by player and kind of looking ahead to South Africa, who are going to be more like Bosnia, more like Qatar, right, than they are Switzerland. I'd imagine Canada has more of the ball against them. If you saw the Korean game yesterday, Korea is very similar to Canada, although they weren't good. Yeah. Didn't even start sunny. Like, what are you doing? Anyway, so you can imagine Canada having more of the ball. So it's more of a match that we saw in the first two games, perhaps, than the last game there. Which actually, so player by player, quick thought on them. And do you think they retain their spot or is there a change there potentially? Okay, left back, Richie. Jimmy, how would you say that he's performed so far? And if Fonzie's not good to start, which clearly he's not.
Yes, Richie Larea will start at left back.
So you like the way he's played so far?
Yeah, I like the way that he plays. You need his pace, his aggression. And Richie, for me, is a shoe-in all the time. He's probably one of the first players on the list.
How did you feel like he performed yesterday,
Jimmy? I thought he was good at times. Playing against Manzibi, he was rapid as well. Good player. At times Richie really had to open up his legs to keep up with him. But I thought Richie defended well in his spells. He was very good yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I thought if he criticized him at all, sorry, Sharms, that in possession, I think a lot of our players, but I thought Richie, as well as he did defensively, that when we were trying to break out and build something and go quicker, I think you saw us have success going more vertical, very much shown in that brilliant goal that we scored. But in the first half, I thought you saw DC connect, or whether it was the opposite side, the center back to the winger who was pulling inside. And then Richie was going out wide, providing the width. But when the ball was on his foot, just lacked quality going forward, lack quality connecting and the right decision, finding that on the pitch. So I think Richie needs to be a little bit better when he's got the ball on his foot.
I think with the Swiss as well, they did press well at times, didn't they? They were aggressive and they made it difficult. And I think there was a few stray balls throughout the match, especially in the first half.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt that Richie's still in there, obviously. On the other side there, Alistair Craig. Thoughts on his overall group performance? And, you know, Nico Seeger is sitting there. I guess if there's anyone that could replace him, it'd be him. Where are you at with Alistair?
Yeah, no, I thought he did pretty well. I mean, this is a different standard that he's used to playing. And we know he plays in the Scottish Premier League, but he also plays for Celtic. We mentioned this before. So he doesn't get tested defensively because he got the ball for 70% of the time in that league. So up against really, really good players, it's a test and it's a level that he's got to improve, I think, a little bit defensively, but he's capable of doing it. Smart player, intelligent, and I think that I have no problems with him and the way he played overall.
Apparently, Fulham's after him now.
Really?
Yeah.
Please go play with Figgy Rolls.
Yeah. Do you think Luke? Well, that's a nice little segue. Thanks, Jimmy. That's a great segue. So Fulham. I mean, first of all, please just get more players in the English Premier League. Please, 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 please. All right, centre backs, including Luke, Dubs, do you think he might get some Fulham minutes, or I'll just jump in the gun a little bit here and maybe another loan to a higher standard of team, maybe a league championship team is the best fit for him, given what you've seen so far?
The latter rather than the former. I think it's a little bit too much, you know, given that he only has like one professional season in Belgium under his belt. But boy, has he shown that he's got a really high ceiling and he's up to the task and he's not intimidated by anybody. And he's physical. We talked about the way he's more robust. I've been very, very impressed with him. So, I mean, for Jesse Marsh to be able to rely on a 20-year-old kid to step in and defend, I think you saw them run ragged a little bit, he and DC yesterday. And you saw him be a little bit sloppy on that yellow card. I was really worried a couple times that he was going to miss the round of 32. But he plays on edge, and that's exactly what you need. And he reads the game really well. And I think you see the quality of his service as well with that straight channel ball that where he finds Saliba. So yeah, really good. And I just want to say for Alistair as well, like after a maybe uneven start versus Bosnia, where he grew into that match as well, I think he's arguably been our best player the last two games. Mm. So Alistair's been very good, and Luke, again, so impressed with him. But I think for next year, Premier League is maybe a little bit too ambitious. I think they do right by him in terms of his development by loaning him out to somewhere that's a step up from the Belgian League.
Craig, your thoughts on the centre-backs, Luke and DC?
Yeah, no, I thought overall, I mean, I think Luke has got a big high ceiling, and we haven't seen that yet. Fulham will be watching very closely, and I'm with Dubs on that. I think a one season in a league that's a little bit stronger than Belgium sets him really well. And in a couple of years, it wouldn't surprise me if he's a regular in Fulham. I really don't. I think he's got that capability. He's way ahead of the game here at the moment.
What about Alistair Forrest making that step up from the Scottish Premier League to the English Premier League? Do you think he can do it?
I do. Just like Larea, like I wish when he went to Nottingham Forest, I really thought that he could have found his way there. Just it's all, you got to have some luck. You need managers that like you. And I think that maybe his profile, and he's a little bit not frail, but he's not as big as some of the Premier League players. And I think that was what, if there's anything that held him back, it was that. But I think he could deal with it. I got no problem with Richie Larea or the Alistair Johnson. And I think Alistair Johnson can make that step as well. But I'd like to see what we're going to see in this tournament, how he does defensively against top opposition eventually here.
Yeah. I think as well, and you're right, Forrest, I would have liked to see Richie have more of a shot than what he did at Forrest. But I think we got to keep in mind, he did have Jed Spence, who was playing this position, who was absolutely on fire and ended up getting, what, a £25 million move to Tottenham. So,
yeah.
It was just bad luck at the time. He just had a guy that was in form in his position.
Derek Cornelius, he's been a bit sloppy at times, but yesterday he had some huge clearances, and man, he was doing everything he possibly could in the area to get that equalizer late in the match. So I give him credit for that, Craig. But your thoughts on DC so far?
I think with him is that you have to keep in mind, he hasn't played an awful lot of football. So,
yeah.
You know, where he's at right now is kind of surprising me, the level he's playing and playing so well without playing as many games as he would like to have in the last 6 months.
Because he was a player that, okay, he was hurt, but that was around Christmas time. Then he got back, he got healthy, and obviously, for whatever reason, fell out with the manager at Rangers. So he's sitting there, must have been getting into his head. You know, will I even get minutes at the World Cup? And then Moyes gets hurt, and it all kind of works out.
How do I not get games in the Scottish Premier League? My God.
You can upset some people, Greg.
If you can walk, you can get a game in the Scottish Premier League.
Jimmy, do you agree? Is Craig being a bit harsh there?
Come on. Celtic and Rangers, they go to qualify for Champions League and they might get through, they might not. And what do you talk about? Well, you know, we're good, but against the better teams, we don't win. We don't compete. We don't get to knockout rounds. Like, let's be honest. It's just the reality of it.
But with DC, is there a window where Moyes does start against Switzerland for you, Jimmy? I mean, again, he hasn't got minutes. Didn't see him at all yesterday. We got him on the pitch for 45 minutes against Qatar, where, again, if he could walk, he could get in the pitch against Qatar and probably do a good job. But do you see, is that one area? I mean, is Luke for sure starting? I mean, has he done enough to show you that you can't take him out?
You know, it's tough as well, and maybe Luke might need a rest as well. He's a young guy. He's played three games pretty much, well, two and a half, going into this match, and maybe he does need a break, and maybe it's a chance to get Bombito in. And like I said, you know, you need his pace. Once you start going into the deeper rounds, you have to have fast center backs, because the speed of play, the tempo, the players are a lot faster than what they've played against in some of the group stages. So you're going to definitely need Bombito at some point. And I think this is a match that you might need him and give somebody a rest.
I agree with
that. We'll ask Jesse, see what he says today.
Right. Yeah. Maybe take He's that available. With a grain of salt.
Yeah. Will Moyes start against South Africa, Jesse?
Yes.
Yes. Everyone.
I got the breaking news. I got the scoop.
We don't believe you. But no, I think I had said, you know, maybe looking at the way that Jesse has integrated these injured players or players who aren't at full fitness the way that he did, I thought it was a really good move, smart move to start Ali Ahmed versus Qatar. And so I thought, you know, looking at Moyes and his situation, it's not exactly the same, but on managed minutes, that it made more sense to start him, especially at a center back position versus working him in as a sub. It's easier to do as somebody who's a winger or a striker. But an opponent like South Africa, as Jimmy's saying, I'm thinking about the first goal yesterday, a little bit of kind of hesitancy between DC and De Fougerol on the cover. That ball that's played into space didn't look great. I think the pace of Moyes fixes that. You have the luxury of the pace that's able to repair a lot of these little errors that you're going to see. And versus South Africa, if you're leaving yourself open in behind, you need somebody to be able to recover. And there's nobody better suited than Moyes Bombito. So I think that if he's going to start a game, like, you get him in then. Like, right, there might not be a round of 16 if you don't have the pace at the back.
It'd be a big call, though, right? Given how many minutes he's played. Okay, so we've got a potential change there. Center of the park, obviously, Eustachio, if he's good to go, we know what he provides. We've kind of gone over that already. Who partners in? Did you see enough from Saliba, Jimmy, to say that he is? You have?
Yeah, I think you, Eustachio and Saliba for me in the middle of the park, those are the two.
Agree.
How was Saliba's game overall yesterday?
I thought he was all right at times. You know, Schoenaerts came in, and I think it took him a while, both of them, just to get a grip of the game and get an understanding of the opposition that they're playing against and their movement. And I mean, look, you're playing against two older players in the middle of the park with bags of experience, and trying to get into their heads and follow their movements and the way that they play. It takes a little bit of time to adjust. In the end, I thought Saliba was good. And if, by the way, his touch and how he set up Promise Davis was unbelievable. I don't think people realize just how difficult that is. Mm-hmm. In full flight, bring that ball down, adjust your feet, and play it across into the path of Promise David. That was world class for me. It was unbelievable.
One of the best.
That's Vinny Jr.
Yeah, no, it is.
If that was Vinny, if that was Mbappe, people, that would have been on the news.
Yeah,
talking about how his touch and how he adjusted and played it, and it was brilliant, just brilliant.
The whole goal, the ball, the long ball from Luke. The control and then Promise with the finish. I mean, the whole thing was just absolutely beautiful. I mean, the touch, yeah, but even the ball across for Promise. I mean, my God, mm-hmm. It really was. I mean, it's
brings it down with his right, plays it with his left. It was poetic. It was beautiful.
But because mm-hmm. that whole thing with Saliba, the way he's able to execute that's with mm-hmm. the defender in his face. Yeah. Like, it'd be one thing to do it if he was in space and all by his lonesome. And he did that, like, with the defender right in front of him, and he had to go around him and then play it first time. So it's that sublime touch. And then it's the right foot again to get it across the face of goal for Promise, who's reaching for it. And it was an equally brilliant finish.
And Promise on his back, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, rather than David.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit cocky, isn't it?
I know. I like it too.
Craig in the back. Yeah, it hasn't got quite the same ring.
No, it's not as sexy at all.
Jim yeah. can work, actually, in kind of a weird way, but then they might think you're Korean.
That's true.
That'd be a problem there. Amy. Yeah, I could work.
Yeah. No. It's no? terrible. Uh-uh.
You've got to be a certain level of cockiness and swagger to do that, and I love it. But so why does John David have J. David on his back? Couldn't he just have David?
Well, probably. Maybe they thought it was going to be P. David.
Well, that's it, because I think
that's, he, I mean, yeah.
Well, that's why he's got the initial, because there's two of them.
Yeah, yeah. But
promise, yeah, we promise know, them. Jimmy.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks, Dips.
That's why.
Lord.
But you promised, though. You got promise in the back, not David.
Yeah, well, he just didn't adjust his kit, did he? What was he going to? Because he puts promise. Oh, like, can you take the J off my back?
I'll get Josh Cloak to do a feature on the kit man, because I'm sure he has. And it'll be good. Josh is great at those pieces. And we'll find out the story behind it. Actually, he did a great piece on the grass, the turf, actually. Josh Cloak did in The Athletic. It's outstanding. You should read it. It's really interesting, actually. You wouldn't think it would be, but it is. So we've done so Saliba with Schwanier. Now it gets a little bit interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tejon has not been brilliant at this tournament. Is that unfair, Dubs?
No, I don't think it is. I thought in the match for second half, I think, of Bosnia, came to life a little bit more. The movement around him became better. So he was able to take on guys more successfully. And Qatar, I thought he was excellent. So everything that was happening on the right side of the pitch and the right wing, Alistair had a lot to do with it as well. That movement there, the way that J. David, not P. David, J. David was interrelating with them. He was take on Buchanan, not Tejon Buchanan. He was tremendous. Mm-hmm. But I thought he was sort of symptomatic of Canada's approach. Like, I felt like we were a bit soft, you guys. And I might get criticized for this, but we talked about the feature and the dark arts and saying, you know, players admitting publicly that they're diving and being a little bit cynical. I don't think they're saying anything that's like newsworthy. I think everybody does it to try to gain an advantage. But I think you saw Tejon looking for the foul much too often versus just playing the game. And it took him out of the game. So I did not like Tejon's performance yesterday at all. I was surprised he wasn't subbed earlier, quite frankly.
Yeah, going by last summer and that slew of games they played, friendlies, he was excellent. Dynamic, quick, getting at defenders, crossing the ball, getting quality, like all those things that I don't think we've seen him at his best yet.
I think we got to remember as well, right? You're playing against Ricardo Rodriguez, who is 33, experienced, played for AC Milan, Wolfsburg. The guy has seen it and done it. And he's played against some unbelievable wingers in his time. And he didn't allow Tejon to breathe. the way that he was so tight, he was aggressive. Every time Tejan got the ball, he was in his face the whole time. And that's what ends up happening when you're playing against an experienced fullback. He knows Tejan's got pace. He's not going to let him give him a runway to run at him. He's got to get tight. And I thought Rodriguez was very good defensively yesterday and made it difficult for Tejan. And that's where Tejan's got to adjust his game now. He's got to adjust and say, this guy's got, he's going to get tight with me. He's not going to allow me to open up my legs and get by you or run at me. Mm-hmm. And he's got to outthink the fullback. But you're playing against an experienced fullback at 33 years old who's been around the block. So I thought he managed Tejan very well.
Yeah, but Tejan's got to bring his level up as well, as you said. And if it wasn't Rodriguez, it was Akanji, who was also brilliant on the day.
Mm. So do you consider a change there or not? Liam comes on, looks pretty lively. He can play both sides. He looked really good in the was it the Ireland game? He played right wing, I think it was. Maybe Uzbekistan. I can't remember now. It's months ago, 3 weeks ago. but yeah, do you consider a change there or does Tejan stay in there?
I think Tejan stays.
Yeah,
especially against South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with that too.
Yeah. Okay. On the other side, Ali. He's started the last couple of games. Again, mentioning Liam, started the first game. Looked decent. Ali had his moments, but yesterday was pretty quiet overall. Craig, your thoughts on whether he retains his spot?
Ali, I think so. I think so. Yeah. What else are you gonna do? I mean, what do you think the options are for him to change things there, Dubs?
Yeah, I think like Sharms is saying, I think that Liam came on and the game had changed and Canada's intent was a little bit different. They were really pushing the game. And Liam was impactful when he came on as a sub.
Yeah.
But I think we saw Canada with Liam starting and it didn't really deliver. So I think if I'm trying to be in Jesse's head, I think that he keeps his wingers the same, even if there was a fair amount to critique. I think that maybe a criticism, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, Sharms, was in a game like that versus Switzerland, and it might be different for what you want to do versus South Africa, very different game. You're going to have more of the ball, so maybe it is Laren again. I think that maybe Tanny starting maybe would have been the play versus a Kyle Laren. I even saw some people that I respect their opinions, like on Twitter, they're like, is he carrying a knock? Like, is he injured? Like he looked like Tanny? He was a half. No, Kyle, like to start the game yesterday. And I don't necessarily agree with that, but he did look like, you know, he was carrying a lot in his legs. Like he looked tired, like his legs were heavy and like you needed somebody who was going to be bright and somebody who was going to be aggressive off the front. And I don't know if you really got that from Kyle. And yes, a little bit was the way that you wanted to approach the game where you weren't necessarily going full throttle. But I think that the lineup is very much the same. I think, you know, we're going through and we're dissecting here and we're looking for points to criticize. And I've said my fair share of critical things, but aside from Moyes, and obviously, Stakio coming back in this middle of the park, I think it's very much the same in the way that you start versus South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Jimmy, John David got criticized in the first game, comes back with a hat trick. Yesterday, you're the tactical people, but he worked his ass off, right? Which is what he does. Didn't get a goal, obviously, but I don't think there's much criticism towards Jonathan David from yesterday's match, is there?
No. No, I thought he worked hard yesterday. That's for sure. He really did. I don't think you can criticize him at all just with his performance. I thought he was very good.
So you go with Kyle as well for Kyle and John against.
I think so, but I do agree with Dubs. Maybe it could be a match for Tanny as well. Just to use his pace up top and use that energy and bring a little spark, because you can see now after three games, the way that the players play, the emotions that are running through their veins, playing at home in front of these Canadian crowds. And I think you can start to slowly see a little bit of fatigue setting in with a few players. And I think maybe now is a match to just bring some energy across the front line and a little bit of life. This is where I think you might see a little changes up top.
Yeah, yeah, Tanny. And then we know that with Kyle and Promise David, they come on and can impact games off the bench really well. So
yeah.
That's
the thing.
It's a shame that Promise is hurt. They can't play, can't start. Or even in that conversation, people on social have been, you know, demanding that he starts against South Africa. It's like, people, he's not starting. He can barely play 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. He's coming off of an injury. He's lucky to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Thank God he is, because he scored an amazing goal. And
yeah, good for
it. Turned out to be an important goal, but a goal's a goal in a World Cup, right? And he has that now. But yeah, he's come on. When he's come on, he's caused turmoil. He could have scored three goals. He had three good chances.
Oh, I know.
Yesterday,
that little flick that seemed to catch more of his beads than actually his head just didn't quite have enough pace on it.
Oops, wasn't it? Oops.
Man, so, and the like DC as well. I mean, you talked about that, Sharms, but yeah, opportunities. I thought like I had it like early on, because something we did do well, and Schwanier did well, and we know that he's been lauded for this in the past, and Jesse Marsh really likes them on dead balls. Canada were effective on the dead balls in the first half. They looked dangerous.
Schwanier was good from dead balls, wasn't he?
He was, yes. His service was bang on. And I thought for sure, like, I had a call to anybody who was around me and listening to me, because I do blather on during games and say a lot of shite. But
was it anyone? Was it anyone, or was it just you?
Yeah, just me talking to myself.
Yeah.
I'm very animated. But I thought that DC was going to connect with one of those corners from Schwanier, or that set piece that was just like a yard in, that was deep on the left wing. Yeah.
The whole fan zone was just like, oh no.
Yeah.
How does that not go in?
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. It was a shame, but hey, like we said, overall, I think we're ecstatic that we still have football to watch. Even though
we're in a good place, we're really in a good place.
Yes,
we are. Asked for a better place.
And can we be honest here? And this will rub people the wrong way, but it's not really a co-host in World Cup. It's a US World Cup with Mexico and Canada helping out with a few games.
Yeah, good point. Good point. I think we're the first cohort host that actually aren't playing all their games at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. Maybe they should have been the second place stay in Canada. Sure. But we've known about this since the freaking draw, right? Let's not start whining now. We know about this.
No, right, there will be whining, Sharms.
Oh, there will be whining. But that should have been back in December. I didn't hear much whining then.
Mm-hmm.
Now, oh my God, is that what? You didn't know? Anyway, today we've got Curacao, Ivory Coast, and Ecuador and Germany in Group E. Group F has Japan, Sweden. That's a good game. Tunisia and Netherlands in Group F, and Group D sees Paraguay, Australia, and Turkey A, and the States. When did Turkey become Turkey A?
Last week.
When they started the bottom of groups.
What was it?
I think around about where Czechia was meant to be Chechia, and then it wasn't again. Right around there. Yeah.
Yeah. Countries rebranding themselves.
It is, like CF Montreal.
What are we? Yeah, there was a CF Montreal.
My kids asked me that. It was like a junior tournament when the Czechia thing happened. They're like, why are we calling them that again? They're like, oh, it's like CF Montreal. I'm like, yes, that's not exactly, but sure, let's go with that.
I think we should go with a soft C and we should be Canada.
Canada. I like it.
Canada.
Everybody's feeling Canada because they were duped by Jesse. A little bit Canada today. Canada.
another American lying to us. He's just like the guy south of us. He's just like Trump. No, he's American's lying to us. No fair.
Well, Sharms, I know we're down to the wire here, but five-match ban for Madibo for that tackle on Kone. Yeah. It really
That's
is.
Harsh.
Why are we giving bans? Like, maybe, you know, if it's not one, it's maybe like two or three if it's deemed to be reckless. But at the same time, you're judging the tackle, you're not judging the outcome. And here, I think FIFA is too worried about the public perception. Like, five matches? What are we doing here?
That's harsh.
So harsh.
That's based purely on the injury.
Yep.
So someone was saying that the Canada wasn't even freaking out until they realized he was hurt. It wasn't that obvious. You know? It's something. Listen, we're out of time. But fun show, lots to get to. Obviously, I think we covered pretty much everything Canada specific, as we do. We'll continue throughout the next few days. Make sure you like and subscribe. And don't forget that BetMGM is your one-stop shopping for all things betting. Make it legendary. Guys, we're out of time. Next time, cheers very much for listening.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Hopefully on Sunday we're not Canada. That was good, Jimmy.
Well, and I mean, didn't Cincy play for Canada?
All-time leading scorer, Cincy for Canada.
Yeah. All right, I've got. Oh shit, my gas. I've.